Dear friends, please open your Bibles at John chapter 15, and our text is found in verses 13 to 15, where our Lord Jesus Christ says this, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And then he says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you," he says. Here this morning, I want us to think about the subject of the greatest friend that you will ever have. Most people can remember a moment when they realized that who their real friends were. You might have been in a place where you're studying. You might thought that you had friends, plenty of them. Maybe you think your social media friends are your real friends. Then one day, you were in trouble. Maybe you were being mocked. Maybe you failed in something. Maybe you were left out. Maybe you were blamed for something that you didn't do. And suddenly that crowd, that group of people, it thinned out. The laughing stopped, and the people who were loud when things were easy became quiet when things got hard. Or perhaps it was later in life. You were going through grief. You were going through illness, some sort of financial difficulty, or a broken relationship, or a challenge at work, whatever it was. It was a hard time for you, and you discovered something. Some people love your success, but they cannot stand when you're suffering. Some people like you when you are useful, but they disappear when you are needy. Now, let me turn the table over and on its head. Have you been like that yourself? To want friendships and yet you are not there for people. You are not there when others are going through trials, and when you hear someone is unwell, you don't visit them, you don't call them. So it works both ways. So here is a simple question that cuts deep. What is a true friend? What is a true friend? Not somebody who flatters you. Not somebody who laughs with you, not somebody who agrees with you on everything. A true friend is someone who will stand with you when it costs. That's a true friend. A true friend is the person who tells you the truth, no matter what the cost is. A true friend would be someone who would pray for you, who would sacrifice what they have for you. And that's why the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John 15 are so searching. He doesn't define love by feelings. He defines love by sacrifice. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. That's the kind of life. That's the kind of friend, he says, you need. That's the greatest friend you can have. Now, let me be plain here. Some of you listening are not Christians. And maybe you're not used to the Bible. You might be thinking, well, that's a beautiful line, but what does it actually mean for me? It means this. Jesus Christ is telling you what real friendship looks like, and then he says, I'm just about to do it. I'm just about to lay down my life for my friends. It's powerful. And the Bible pushes the question further. He says, are you Christ's friends? Or are you really unfamiliar with him? Oh, yes, you are doing rituals. You go to church. You do various things. You've experienced many, many different things, maybe. But are you his friend? Or you don't actually know him? There is no relationship. He is not speaking to your heart. And you are not speaking to him from your heart. Are you still his enemy? That might sound harsh, but it is honest. The Bible doesn't say that we are born as God's friends. The Bible doesn't say that we are born as just a blank piece of sheet, and then we drift away. It doesn't say that. It says that we are born in rebellion against God, and God must rescue us. And the Bible says that we are, in Colossians 1:21, he says we are alienated and enemies. That's not insulting language. It is God is giving you the diagnostics. It is going, and then he's testing everything out, and then he gives you a breakdown list, as you would get. When you go to a mechanic, you give your car, and then they would say, well, this is the damage. This is the issue. That's what the Lord is doing. Or like a doctor that you go and say, we need to do some blood tests. And I'm going to show you, I'll give you a printout of all this stuff that's wrong from your blood test. It's not to wound you, but it is to save you. So now I want you to see three things, but actually there are some other points attached, maybe 6 points, but they're all short points. But there are three main things I want you to see. Number one, what Christ means by friendship. Number two, what Christ did to make enemies into friends. And thirdly, what you must do with a friend like this. So first of all, what makes a true friend? What does the Lord mean when he speaks about friendship? The Lord Jesus Christ says this, greater love hath no man than this. Nobody else has a love like this, so great. He's saying, if you want to know what the greatest love looks like, here it is. It's not about words. It's not about flowers. It's not about poetry. It's not about promises. It's not about a ring. But it's about a life laid down. That's what it is. Just think about the lifeboat that is, the crew is in a storm. The sea is violent, it's freezing, it's dangerous, everyone is sensible, is trying to get away from the water. They want to get out and get onto the shore. And so people are running away, but the lifeboat goes out. Why is that? Because someone is out there who cannot save himself. And that's what a true friend does. A true friend moves towards danger for your sake. Or think of a fireman entering a burning building, and everyone else is running out, but he runs in. He goes the opposite way. Why is that? And you thank God that the fireman is running in. Not because the flames are attractive. Not because it is all nice and cozy and warm. No, but because someone is trapped who is to die. The Lord Jesus Christ says this, that this is greater love, the love that pays a cost. Now, please notice something here. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't say, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for people who deserve it. No, he simply says, for his friends. But that raises the big question, who are his friends? We'll think about that soon. But something else I want you to notice is that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about himself. He's talking about himself. We shouldn't miss this. The Lord Jesus is not giving a nice thought for a greeting card and something that people can print off and send to people. He's not giving this for that. He is on the eve of his crucifixion. He knows what is coming. You see, what is going to happen to him? Very soon he'll be betrayed. Even by his friends. He's going to be denied. He's going to be abandoned by people who said, we will never leave you. He'll be condemned. He'll be nailed to a cross. And he says here that a man lay down his life. This is what's going to happen. This is not the Lord Jesus Christ losing control. No, he is in full control. This is the Lord Jesus Christ choosing the cross. And so he says elsewhere, he says, no man taketh it from me. No man is going to take away my life from me, he says. But I lay it down of myself. He says, I'm going to lay it down. I will lay down my life. I will die myself in full control. I will give up my spirit. I will suffer the wrath of my Father for the sake of those who I love. So why did he do it? Here is where Christianity is different from every sort of man-made religion. Every man-made religion you find out there, whatever their name is, many religions, many ideas, even under the name of Christianity, they say, well, you need to climb up to God. You need to improve yourself. You need to go through these rituals and make sure you keep up the rituals. Under the name of Christianity, you need to pay your way. You need to earn acceptance. True Christianity, biblical Christianity, says the opposite. It says that God came down to us in the person of his Son, and he paid what we could never pay. So if we ever try to say, I'm going to be doing these things to earn salvation, we are saying, I don't actually appreciate what Jesus Christ did. I don't appreciate that he actually died on the cross, because I could do it myself if I just tried harder, if I just followed these rules. And that's why we need to understand what the cross of Jesus means and what happened there. The Bible says Christ died for the ungodly. And it says this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We are not trying to be sentimental, and we are not trying to make people tear up a little. No, this is substitution. Jesus Christ became our substitute. Instead of us, he was condemned. Instead of us, he stood and he suffered that shameful death of the cross. Jesus in the place of sinners. Now, who are these friends? Who are these friends? Here is where many people stumble. They say, well, Jesus died for his friends, but I'm not religious. I'm not good enough. I've done too many things that are wrong. I can't be his friend because I'm nowhere near to what his friends, the disciples, were. But listen, dear friends, the whole point of the gospel is that you are not good enough, and neither am I. Nobody started in their life and nobody finishes their life being good enough for God. None of us are good enough. And the friend the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of, they are not his friends because they are lovely. No, they become his friends because he loved them first. That's why. He loved them first, not because they're lovely. So it is like a doctor who goes into a ward and it is full of plagues, full of illnesses. He doesn't go there because disease is attractive. He goes there because the sick need help. That's why he goes there. So if you're sitting there thinking, well, I'm too sinful, you've understood half the truth. The other half is this. That is exactly why you need him. That's why you need the Savior. That's why Jesus Christ came. Not for those who are whole, not for those who are healthy, but he came for the sick, spiritually sick. He came for sinners. But if you're there thinking to yourself, well, I'm not actually that bad. I'll be fine. I'm not too bad at all. Then, my friends, you are in far greater danger. Pride keeps people, more people, from Christ than scandal ever did. Our biggest problem is our pride. Now, we need to move on. Another thing that I want to say is this, that friendship with Christ is not something casual. Friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ is not something casual. Look at what it says in verse 14. So we come to this line that many people in our day dislike. They don't like this. He says this in verse 14, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." That's really strong, isn't it? Some will hear that and some will say, well, it says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So is it about rules and is it about commandments then? No, not in the way that you think. Listen carefully. This is not the Lord Jesus Christ saying, obey me and I will love you. He's not saying that. It is the Lord Jesus Christ saying, if I have saved you, you will follow me. That would be your disposition. That's how you will respond. If I have saved you, you will follow me. You will love me. You will love my laws. You will love my commandments. You see, a newborn baby cries A newborn baby breathes and moves and feeds not to become alive, but because it is alive. That's why. So it is with a real Christian. Obedience is not the price of salvation. It is the proof of salvation. So don't get it mixed up. So if someone says, well, Jesus is my friend, but they don't repent, their life is the same as before. There is hardly any change. They won't bow to the Lord Jesus. They say, well, no, I need to do this. Jesus will understand why I have to do these things that he doesn't like. They are not describing biblical disciples or friends of the Lord. They're describing using Jesus as a comfort blanket. Just to give you a little bit of comfort, a little bit of peace of mind. My friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is not a good luck charm. The Lord Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord. He's the Son of God. That's important, dear friends. Another thing to think about is this. There's a difference between knowing about Christ and knowing him. Knowing about Christ is not knowing him. Many people know about Jesus the way they know about a celebrity. They know facts. They've heard stories. They might even admire him. But you can admire a person and still not know them. You can read biographies of a man and never meet them. So you can read about some famous person, as I've done, about a minister, and I read a couple of books, and I thought I knew well enough. But this old lady came to me once, and she said, but I met him. I spent time with him. I knew his wife. I knew his children. I heard him preach. You can't put that on paper. And that's important. That's the difference. So you can sit in churches for years. You can hear sermons for years. You can sing hymns and know them off by heart and learn religious language. And you can learn all of these things and still not be Christ's friend. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ warns that many will say on that final day, Lord, Lord. They even call him Lord. They even call him God. And they still are rejected because he says, I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. Depart from me, he says. Leave me. Go away. And they're cast away. You see, friendship is something that is personal. You actually have to be, it's not social media. Christianity is not social media friendship. You can have millions of friends. You've got thousands of friends. So you have many people who are following you maybe on certain things, but you don't know them. They are not your true friends. Friendship is personal, especially when it comes to the things of God. And, and so we must come to him honestly, dear friends. And that is so fundamental. So we need to stop pretending. We need to stop making excuses. We need to stop even bargaining. We must say, I am a sinner, Lord. I've offended thee. I have lived without thee. I deserve thy judgment, but I come to thee for mercy because thou art a God full of mercy, full of compassion. Lord, save me. That's the most powerful and most simple prayer. You don't have to say big words. You don't have to fill in so many paragraphs to pray. All a sinner must do, Lord, I am a sinner. Have mercy upon me, a poor sinner. Lord, save me. But think about this, the cost of rejecting this friend. The cost of rejecting this friend. And we do need to say this. If the Lord Jesus Christ is not your friend in this way that we are talking about, he's not neutral. People say, well, I don't hate Jesus. I just don't bother with him. I don't need to know more about him. But you see, you cannot treat the Son of God like sort of background noise in your life. You can't just put the Son of God on as you would put on radio and it's just noise in the background. You're not really listening. You see, indifference to Christ is not a small thing. It is actually rejection. It is like having the King of England come and he's standing in the kitchen. Just let him sit there. He's got space. He's got food. He can make himself coffee. What's wrong? There's nothing wrong with that kind of a thing. But you said, that's the most disrespectful thing. To ignore him. So I'm not against him. But he's just like anybody else. That's actually a rejection. That's most disrespectful. When God has given us life and breath and all the things that we do need, he blesses us so much. And yet for us to ignore him? There is no neutrality, dear friends. The same Christ who died upon the cross will be our judge one day, and the cross that we ignore today will be the evidence against us on that last day. The Lord Jesus Christ said this, "He that believeth not is condemned already." Those who don't trust me with their life, trust me regarding their sins, they are condemned already, he says in John 3 and verse 18. That's not to scare people into religion. No, that's to awaken us to reality. That's what it is. So if a man is sleeping in a burning building, you go and ring the doorbell, just say, oh, well, just let's see. Oh, well, maybe I'll try his number. Maybe he'll answer. And just have a little, just be polite. We don't bang the door. We don't shout and cry out because that's not a nice thing to do. No. We shout, we cry out, we smash the door in when the building is on fire. And that's what preachers do. That's what Christians ought to do. This is a serious thing that you're talking about. The kind thing is not to speak softly. The kind thing is to shout and to alert the person. And that's why the scripture speaks so straightly about these things. Another thing to say is this. The blessing of having the Lord Jesus Christ as your friend. Have you thought about that? The positive aspect, the blessing of him being your friend. What things this friend brings. This is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. This is a friend who will never leave us nor forsake us. This is a friend who is so close, he is hearing everything. He sees every tear. He sees every fall. If the Lord Jesus Christ is your friend, the first blessing is forgiveness that is settled. It's a forgiveness that is real. It's not a vague hope that things might work out in the end, but it's a clear conscience before God. The debt is of my sins are paid. This friend paid for it, not by money, but by his blood. He paid for it. This record of my guilt is wiped clean. I have a clean record before God. Not just a clean record, I have a positive record because all of the good things that Jesus has done has been put into my account. All that he is has been put into my account. You are no longer living under this weight of what if? And what about the past? We're not living under that. When Jesus is our friend, because the scripture says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No, nothing to condemn us. Another thing is this. You have peace with God. Through this friend, you have peace with God. Not merely a calm feeling, but an objective peace. You see, the war is over. You had been in a battle and war against your own maker, but Jesus Christ has come and he has brought peace. God is no longer against you because his wrath has been appeased and he is for you. He is no longer running towards you to destroy you. And you are not running away from him anymore, hiding from him anymore, bargaining with him anymore. You can come to him freely, honestly, and daily, every minute, every second, always. Another thing that this friend makes possible is that you receive a new heart. This is a wonderful gift. This is a friend who gives gifts. He gives you new desires too. You are not made perfect, but you are made new. You will become perfect one day. But you will be made a new man. You begin to hate what once ruled you and love those things that once bored you. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't abandon you when you fail. He restores you. He corrects you. He keeps you. As we shall see later on tonight on backsliding, that the Lord calls us to his friends to himself, to return to him when even they have backslidden. And finally, my friends, this friendship doesn't end at death. All of our friendships here will end at death. All of our relationships in one sense, those of you who are married, it will end at the point of death. But not this relationship, not this marriage with Christ. It actually gets better and better and better. And it is called heaven. He carries you through death. I will come again and receive you unto myself, he says, that where I am, there ye may be also. The friend who died for sinners like us will receive you into glory. And that's not sort of a temporary help. He doesn't say, I'm limited in what I can do. I had to say in my shame last week about something, and I said, I'm so limited. I just don't have the time. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the energy. I cannot help you in this thing, I had to say. And I just simply couldn't. We are all limited, aren't we? But this friend, his friendship, his help is not temporary. It's not limited. His resources are rich, rich, everlasting. This is eternal friendship. So let me say this, dear friends. Let me begin where the Lord Jesus Christ begins. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Do you see it? The greatest friend offers the greatest love at the greatest cost. But friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ is not automatic. It is not inherent. It's not something that is inherited by you because you are in a Christian home. No. It is not absorbed by being near religious people. No. It must be between us and God. We must come to him. We must turn our thinking and our living from sin to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we must follow him. Trust him with all our hearts. That's what we must do. Do you trust him? The Lord Jesus Christ has come unto me. So here is the question that matters now. Will you have him as your friend now? Or will you face him as your judge later? This is a friend. And he says to us, look, all these things I have done for sinners. Will you be my friend? Will you receive me? Don't walk away, dear friends, from this best of friends that you will ever have. And may the Lord write these words upon your heart and mine for Jesus' sake. Amen.